Hello there and welcome to the official EFL podcast as we steam towards the end of another gloriously chaotic season. We have a treat in store as the Championship's leading goal scorer, Sammy Spoddix, drops by to discuss his goal-laden campaign.
You know, you score a couple of goals and your confidence goes up and, you know, everyone starts talking about you and, you know, as a footballer, who doesn't like to be spoken about? And I think as games have gone on and, you know, you're playing for such a big team like Blackburn, you're on the telly more, you know, you're over social media, you know, I think it's like, probably this season, I would say I've probably focused and really concentrated a lot more on my football.
A key voice at Sky Sports describing all of the upcoming drama is David Stowell. He's back to co-host, and to top it all off, we'll bring you highlights of last Sunday's EFL Awards. If you haven't already subscribed, then please get following and find us in all the usual places, wherever you get your podcasts from, or if, like David Bowie, sound and vision is your thing, watch it all on YouTube. This is the official EFL podcast. A very warm welcome to you all. This season is absolutely flying past. There's only a few episodes of the podcast left as the season draws to a thundering climax. For this week, I've got co-host back once again, David Stowell from Sky Sports. Stowley, how are you?
I'm very well, Pratt. So I must say you did a fine job on Sunday at the EFL Awards presenting. It was a great watch.
Thank you so much. Your voice of God was warm, rich and soothing as it always is. Did you enjoy yourself?
Had a whale of a time. Absolutely loved it. It was an honour to be involved. And we had a great night, I think. And we saw some wonderful winners crowned as well.
We did. And that is the perfect segue because you are the perfect co-host into talking to one of those winners. He's only the top scorer in the Championship. 30 goals in all competitions this season. It is just a pleasure to have Blackburn Rovers' Sammy Spoddix with us. Sammy, how are you?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, mate. It's nice to be able to sit down and chat. We've both admired you from afar for such a long period of time, especially more so this season. Has any of it taken you by surprise? Was it all in the plan? Did you see it coming?
Do you know what? I sat down with my agent at the beginning of the season and, you know, drew up a plan for goal contributions. And, you know, I think we passed that in October. So it's been a bit of a surprise to me this season with the amount of goals I've scored. But it's not been a surprise that I have scored because, you know, every level I've played, I've always scored goals. But, you know, to do it in such a competitive league like the Championship is probably a bit of a surprise to myself. And, you know, it's something I always knew I could do. Mm. And at the old age of 28, finally, you know, I've got the chance in the league and I'm scoring goals.
From that point of view, of you mentioned your age because obviously football, I mean, you get anywhere near 30, people start thinking you're really old. But what comes with age is maturity, maturity of thought, composure. Have you found that that's been potentially part of it? Everything coming together at exactly the right time. It's amazing to think that you actually sat down and planned out what you wanted, but then to actually do it. I mean, that's another thing altogether, isn't it?
I think this season especially, you know, last year was my first year at Blackburn. And, you know, in the summer, we lost a lot of big mature names at Blackburn, the likes of Bradley Dack, Dan Ayala. And I felt like it was a bit of a duty of mine, being one of the oldest players at 28, because it's such a young team, to step up off the pitch. And I think that maturity is just sort of just reflected onto the pitch. And I've sort of grown up off the pitch, and it's carried its way onto the pitch, and that's why I'm putting in these performances. And, you know, the goals are just a bonus for me. You know, I think scoring so early on in the season, you know, scoring a brace at Rotherham, I think second or third game in, sort of kick-started my season, and the confidence just grew from then on. And, you know, with three games to go, you know, hitting the 30 mark last weekend was massive for me, and hopefully I can add a couple more in the last three games.
I don't know whether you were aware of your numbers over the past few years, Sammy, because obviously, you know, as Pratt says, we've watched and admired your play at Peterborough, and then obviously you got the move to Blackburn and all of that. But you've scored the same number of goals this season as you have in the previous three campaigns combined. So what's sort of clicked? I mean, I know you've played a bit further up the pitch to a point, so obviously there'll be more opportunities, but it's more to it than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. I was on Talk Sport yesterday or the day before and I got asked the same question. It's quite a tough question to answer because I'm sort of playing in that free freedom role where it's sort of like you can do whatever you want, so I can sort of go wherever I want. Which is why I'm enjoying my football so much, because it's sort of just like a free-flowing game. And like I mentioned, you know, you score a couple of goals and your confidence goes up and, you know, everyone starts talking about you. And, you know, as a footballer, who doesn't like to be spoken about? And I think as games have gone on and, you know, you're playing for such a big team like Blackburn, you're on the telly more, you know, you're over social media. You know, I think it's like probably this season, I would say, I've I've probably focused and really concentrated a lot more on my football. Obviously, previous years I have as well, but just being at a club and being one of the main players and one of the oldest players at Blackburn, I've just felt like it's a lot, not serious, because every season's been serious for me, but it's been a lot more to sort of take in, and, you know, a lot more people are watching your games. And I don't know if that's just reflected, and like I mentioned earlier, my maturity has followed that, and with that's come confidence, and with that's come goals. So it's quite hard to put my finger on it, really.
It sounds like the kind of thing that happens to a player when everything, a lot of boxes are ticked at the same time. So I think what it sounds like you're trying to say is it's a sense of responsibility. Like you say, big names go out the door, Ben goes out the door, Bradley Dack goes out the door. We saw Adam Armstrong move in years gone by at Blackburn. And it needs people to step forward. And you've done exactly that, because, I mean, the fact that you've got somebody like Alan Shearer getting in touch to say congratulations just goes to show the magnitude of that football club and what it means to so many, many people. So is the next port of call for you getting this season boxed off and then those type of goals firing a team at the other end of the table over the course of a season?
Yeah, every footballer wants to be at the other end. You know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster season for me. You know, on a personal one, it's been my best ever. But we're down, we're 5 points off relegation, and we've been down there sort of most of the season. And like you said, it comes with responsibility. I still feel at 28, I'm relatively young. I've still got so much more to give. And you look at the football club now, you've got youngsters playing. Even the other night with Archie Gray being 18, like, I don't feel 10 years older than him, but I am. And it's like, it's crazy to think that that was once me. And, you know, with responsibility, obviously I've got a young family now. You know, we've all moved up to the Northwest, the Manchester area. And again, it comes with maturing.
I mean, that comes into as well, doesn't it? Given where you are, because you are, Colchester's miles away. I mean, I played there. It's miles away from anywhere. And I mean that with the greatest respect. It's a trek, isn't it? And so to move across on the other side of the country, that's a tough thing for a footballer to get his head around.
I think one of the main things for me was I went to Bristol City as a 22-year-old from Colchester, and I probably wasn't ready to move away from home. And I wasn't ready, and I wasn't physical enough, and I probably wasn't good enough at that point to play in the Championship. So I remember going to Peterborough, dropping down a league, which I know a lot of people wouldn't do. They'd be happy to just stay at Bristol because you're at a champ team. And I felt like it was right for me to drop down a league to sort of work myself up, because it's like going from League One to the Premier League. It'd be a big jump. And going from League Two to the champ was a big jump for me. And I felt I should have been given more of an opportunity. But I found it tough and dropped down to Peterborough in League One, sort of showed my worth there. And then obviously got into the Championship with Peterborough and we had a tough time. So moving to Blackburn, I always felt like I could have, like, a point to prove. You know, people sort of questioning, are you good enough at that level? And first 6 months last year at Blackburn, found it tough, obviously, with Jon Dahl Thomason. The way he played was really different to how I'd ever played, and I think a lot of the boys were the same. And then once you understood how he wanted to do it, it was so tactically quite easy for you. He made the game so easy. And I think down to him is probably where I was playing my best football, and I finished the season last season really strong, and I've just taken that confidence and that form into this year.
It must be a tough sort of mental tug of war, I guess, when you're doing as well as you're doing, posting the numbers you're posting, but in a side, as you say, which has really struggled this season. So, for example, you've scored in 19 Championship games, but Blackburn Rovers have only won 8 of those. So is that a difficult thing to sort of manage personally in the dressing room, where you've maybe come in and you've scored a couple of goals in a game, or you've scored a goal in a game and yet the team hasn't won, to sort of have that sort of smile on your face on a personal level, but then realise obviously the team hasn't done the business, so therefore you're struggling?
Yeah, of course, because like I said, on a personal level for me, it's amazing. And, you know, it's so hard to score goals, so to be scoring them at this level is fantastic. But like you said, most importantly is to get the win. And what I've found difficult sometimes is, you know, I might not have the best game, but you score the win or you score a goal and you sort of half done your job. And what I found difficult is sometimes going in, it's easier sometimes when you've lost to not have scored, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to go into the change room after the game and sort of say, throw your hands in the air and say, lads, like, come on, because people think, okay, mate, you've scored a couple of goals. Sometimes it's actually easier to go in and have lost 2-0, because then everyone can sort of have a pop. When you've lost 2-1 and you've scored, I don't want people to think like, all right, mate, you scored a couple of goals, you think you can come in here and have a scream and a shout, which obviously no one thinks that, and I'm not like that. But these are the sort of thoughts that go through your head. And like I said, for me personally, I might never hit this many goals ever again. And, you know, my name to be mentioned the same as Alan Shearer, and, you know, and to get a video from him is like a pinch myself moment, because I just love playing football, and I'm surprised, like, you know, we spoke about it at Blackburn, you know, when I score now, like, we sort of have a laugh and a joke, and I get people texting me like, oh my God, like, how have you scored again? And it's like, I always knew I'd score goals, but to this level and this many is sort of surprising for myself. And yeah, it's just finding that balance of, you know, being happy because you're doing your job and scoring your goals. But ultimately, you know, I think, you know, maybe with one more point, three more points from the last game, we'll be safe from the relegation zone. So it's just a bit of a roller coaster at the minute.
It's so funny you should say that. It's like, just picturing so many strikers that I've played with that would come in and do exactly that. Any chance, lads? Oh, well done, mate. Yeah, he's got a goal.
And you know, the worst is sometimes the manager was going, is anyone going to help him out? And score. And I'm sort of sat there like, so then when the manager leaves, everyone goes, all right, scored a couple of goals, haven't we? And you're like, oh.
And all you can do is go, lads, I'm so sorry. I'm not asking
you
to say
it. Sort of half batter and say, no, lads, he's right. Any danger of someone helping me out? Like, but yeah.
Headlines, Smodics does it on his own again.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, this is so embarrassing. But I would say, to be fair, John Eustace has come in. We were leaking goals left, right, and centre. And John Eustace has come in, and the first thing he said was, right, we're going to stop. We were playing a four at the back, and he's come in. He's three at the back, five at the back, and we've shored it up completely. And I think just the performance at Leeds on Saturday at 12:30, just sort of what we've been working on for weeks, sort of just clicked. And we're a good counter-attacking team, and the game plan worked down to a T. So he's come in, and he's completely different to Jon Dahl Tomasson, but... You know, the way he wants to do things has definitely shored us up, and this is why we're sort of picking up the points now where we're picking them up.
You mentioned that as a footballer, you kind of always like to be talked about because I mean, that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? And in the industry that we're in, do you ever find that some people get your name badly wrong? Because I think some people look at a name with a Z in it, for example, and panic and then say something that isn't quite correct. So I bet over the years, we talked to Conor Hourihan a while ago, Harahan, I should say, to get it right, right at the beginning of this podcast journey, this season, and he said he'd had all sorts of pronunciations of his name. So as a commentator, we always try and get it right, but I'm guessing some people don't.
Oh, I get all sorts. They like you said, it's the right way to say it. They do panic when they see the Z. And I think some people think I'm going to have the most wildest Hungarian accent ever. And I probably couldn't be any more Essex or common. So when people talk, I even remember meeting my missus when I was 18, I met her, and I think she thought I was going to have some wild accent. And she was like, oh, like you speak in an Essex accent. I'm thinking, yeah, just because my surname is not from England doesn't mean I don't speak with that accent. But the Z does panic people. It's just Smodics. It's quite simple when you actually know how to say it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Smodics, and I think, like, oh, you're just complicating it. So, but to be fair, as a commentator, I can imagine it's quite tough because written down, it does look a bit wild.
Going back to what you said about scoring goals and making plans, and it being this wonderfully stellar kind of standard-setting season, what do you do then to carry on? What takes it into next season? How do you maintain what you've got, and if not, push on further?
Yeah, it's been a bit wild. I knew it was a big season for me after finishing last season so strong, and you know, I didn't know how it was going to go, I'll be honest, when Jon Dahl left, because I felt like I was only really, really understanding his football and playing my best football. You know what it's like. The manager leaves, a new manager comes in straight away. Is he having me? Does he like the way I do things? And I've sort of kicked on again under John. It's tardy. Obviously, you've got Jon and you've got John. I've kicked on again under John, which I've thoroughly enjoyed doing. And, you know, no one wants to be down there. No one wants to be down in a relegation battle. You know, last year we was top at Christmas. Or year before, shall I say, we was top at Christmas. And obviously now we're hoping to get safe this weekend if results go our way. And it's like two different levels, you know, ends of the spectrum, and everyone wants to be at the top of the table, you know, fighting. So, you know, next season, be at Blackburn. If I'm not at Blackburn, be somewhere where I'm pushing for a promotion. And I'm not, it's a hard one. You want to be out of your comfort zone. You don't want to get comfortable anywhere. You always want to be challenging. You always want to be like, I remember signing for Bristol City thinking, I'm never, ever going to get in this team. You know, there's three or four players that play in that. When I signed, it was like Andy Vyman, Jamie Patterson, Casey Palmer. There were some proper names there. And it was like, they're the teams you want to go to and, you know, really get your name out there. And I think this season, I've noticed, especially my name is sort of everywhere. And it's, like you said, it's good to be spoken about. And it's good to show people, like, I've moved from League Two down to the National League, back to League Two, to League One, now in the Championship. It's just nice to sort of have played in every EFL league and done well.
And international football as well, of course, because your late grandmother was Irish. So even though you're from Colchester and you're a West Ham fan, You're playing for Ireland these days. So how have you found all that?
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming, that debut. I sorted my passport 4 or 5 years ago. You know, growing up, just being from Colchester, playing for Colchester, my dad, we didn't really know how far down the line, you know, you could play for Republic of Ireland. Nan died at an early age. I didn't really know her. So again, didn't know how it worked. And it was only with a new agent that I signed with 5 years ago that he said, oh, I think we could look into it. And obviously international football for me was what everyone wants to do. And, you know, things happened with my passport, and then things happened with the old manager. I don't think he knew. He thought I wanted to be there, which obviously I did. And then this camp just gone. John O'Shea obviously got it for a while, and he rang me up and said, would you be interested in it? Basically, you're going to get an opportunity. And I went there and I absolutely loved every minute of it. I started both games, got unlucky with the Switzerland game, but loved every minute of it. And I'm looking forward to the camp in June.
So from that point of view as well, Sammy, you talk about the kind of points that you need and the results potentially being able to get it boxed off this weekend. It's that strange kind of purgatory that you're in, isn't it? Because as a player, you almost kind of say, look, well, let me play these games back to back. Let's get it all done. Let's play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get it all done so we know by Monday exactly where we are. But you've got to play, you've got to wait, you've got to play, you've got to wait. It's tough, isn't it? Because the end of the season is there, but you've still got a huge job to do between now and the end of that season.
Well, that's why I think it sounds mental, but you'd have heard it before. We went to Bristol City on the Wednesday night. We lost 5-0. It's probably the best thing that could have happened to us, because we went there after a couple of good results, thinking we could just go to Bristol City and turn up, and they walloped us. They beat us 5-0, and it's probably the best thing to happen, because we needed a reaction, and there was no tougher place to go than Elland Road. And we was on Sky, so straight away everyone's talking Leeds this, Leeds that. Understandably, with where they are and where we are, and the manager sort of just said to us, like, no one thinks we're going to come here and get absolutely anything, so why can't we get a win? That was sort of the team talk, and obviously we've done really well and we got the win, and the finish line is in sight. We can see it, but like you said, we play Sunday, so obviously all the games Saturday will be done, all the results will be done. Sometimes that builds a little bit more pressure on us. You know, sometimes you like to play early on the Saturday or on the Friday night, because you know you can just focus on your job and your job's done. You know, we'll be watching Saturday, hoping the results go our way. But ultimately, we can only focus on ourselves. You know, hopefully we can get a good result Sunday, and it leads nicely into the next weekend for our last home game at Ewood Park.
I guess, Sammy, when you were playing that game against Leeds, I mean, you're right. I suppose the wider football world thought, well, Leeds are going to win this because they're pushing to try and get up, and you've just lost at Bristol City and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So when you turn up to a game like that, how difficult is it to not be another one of those people who thinks, well, we've got no chance today, and to actually sort of focus on the job in hand and believe in yourself as a person, but also in the group?
Yeah, no, of course. It's a no-brainer. We obviously knew all the chat was going to be about Leeds. Leeds have had a fantastic season. Obviously, some of them winning player of the season. You know, I think three of them was in the team of the season. You know, and there's no surprises there. They're a great team. It's probably one of the best teams we've played this season. But, you know, we went there with no pressure. No one's expecting you to win. We're not expecting to go there and win the game. We're good enough. We know we can hold out and get a point. But the manager drilled it into us all week, sort of, why can't we go there and cause an upset? You know, they need a win as bad as we do. And the game plan worked down to a T. It's exactly what we were going to, how we were going to do it. We were going to do a low block and invite the pressure. We knew we was going to play five at the back. And, you know, the defenders have been so good this second half of the season since John Eustace has come in. And we knew with our quality going forward, we would get them on the counter-attack. And I think the goal came in the 82nd minute, which was, you know, we're a very fit team, a young team, and we can keep going. And I think we showed great character to react after that Bristol City game.
Well, Sammy, like we said, the end of the season is very much in sight, mate. But on a personal note, congratulations. As I said, we love covering this division. We love getting to the games. And to see what you've done, mate, has been staggering. We would just wish it all the best for the rest of it, and also to carry on into next season, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's been a good season, so hopefully I can see that golden boot. Adam Armstrong's got it in him to score. He's got it in him to score 2 hat-tricks.
Has he been in touch?
I was watching his games last night with my fingers crossed, thinking, just, you can keep getting your assists, Armour, but don't score any more goals. So you know, the finishing line's in sight now, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. Live from a car park somewhere in the northwest. We can't tell you where. It's a top secret location, but we really appreciate taking the time, mate.
Thank you. Wonderful stuff. Cheers.
So, Sammy, we'll let you go. David Stowell, I'm going to let you have a little break now. Of course, you were working at the EFL Awards, as you mentioned, on Sunday night. Sammy was a winner. Right now, we can hear from a few more other winners on the evening.
I played 871 games. You can't even fathom how long ago when I started, to Northampton, to Forest, unbelievable, to Ipswich, where it's my home now, 10 years there, top 10 all-time appearances for them. We had some amazing times, some good teams in a very tough period for the club. My relationship with everyone in that area is fantastic. And then on to Colchester, where it's a different experience for me. In the last couple of years, I was making sure I was going out every Saturday when you walk around the pitch before the game, just taking it all in, because you know it's going to come to an end at one point. I probably still could play now in terms of how my body feels and fitness, but I thought it was the right time to finish. And that was a really perfect thing for me to finish there and play every game and go out on my terms. So I wouldn't change anything for the world.
We've challenged for the last three seasons. We've missed out on the playoff final a couple of seasons ago. Missed out by one goal last year to reach the playoffs. So we feel it's our time this season. But it's just keep trying to improve the squad each season and try and improve the way you play. We needed to concede less goals. We've done that. But fortunately, we've scored a few more as well.
The Portsmouth fans over the last 15 years have gone through a fair bit, going through the top in the Premier League, winning the FA Cup, all the way down to being ours from going into liquidation and falling out of the Football League. So for them to be able to, I guess, experience a bit of success would be amazing. It would mean the world to myself, everybody connected to the football club, but even most importantly, I think the fans, to give them a bit of reward for, I think, all of the hardship they've been through. And it's a football club that sometimes you get this said a bit flippantly, but I think it's a football club that definitely belongs in the Championship at least. So hopefully we can take them there.
Been exciting. Of course, there's ups and downs along the way. Every game's so competitive, the margins are tight. But we're enjoying it. It's been a fantastic season. It's first season for the club back in the Championship in 4 years. This is what we wanted to do. We knew it was going to be tough, but we wanted to get back to the Championship as quick as possible. We wanted to make an impact and start fighting at the top of it as quick as possible. Of course, I don't think anyone really expected it to happen this quickly. But that's been a lot of good work and a lot of hard work. But we're still three big league games left, and there's still a lot to fight for. And that's where our focus is. But look, whatever happens, it's the trajectory of the club's in a lot better place than it was a few years ago, and that's great for everyone. I think the future of the club is in a good way now.
So a little snippet there of the EFL Awards on Sunday night, which was a thing of beauty. It was a glorious night for everyone to come together in celebration. Some worthy winners as well. Luke Chambers, we were working together at the Norwich Ipswich game just a couple of weeks ago, and he said he was popping along and he was mentioning very vaguely about an award he thought he was up for. I don't think he realised the magnitude of what he was going to get, which was a wonderful reflection, the Sir Tom Finney Award of a very, very long career. Kieran McKenna, wonderful job that he's doing. John Messina, more of him on him shortly, because just when he thought his week couldn't get any better, it quite clearly did, didn't it, Stella? We'll talk about him in just a sec. And of course, Nigel Clough, he's been on the podcast before, 25 years doing what he's done, dedicating that to his wife, which I thought was the loveliest of touches up there on the stage. But as I said, let's get cracking with news that's even more up to date than Sunday night at Grosvenor House, my friend. Straight into the Championship. Straight into the top end of the Championship. Now, where we find Ipswich, manager of the year, Kieran McKenna, his Ipswich Town at the top of the tree. Leicester City lost, Leeds lost because of a certain Sammy Smodics, who we had the pleasure of talking to just a few moments ago. By the way, what a lovely fellow he is. Mm. They seem to be falling over themselves not to be to become the champions. And throw into the mix, Stowley, Southampton. Welcome back, Southampton, into that race for the top two.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked before, haven't we, on this podcast about how brilliant the Championship has been this year. And we seem to be a bit of a broken record in that sense, because every year we go on about how great the Championship is. But we haven't seen a promotion race quite like this. I think it's incredible to think that those teams that you mentioned, Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds, were in such a rush to get promotion sealed. And in the last few weeks, it's almost as if suddenly no one wants to do it anymore. And actually, they don't want to go to the Premier League. They love the Championship too much. It's become such a congested race. And then, as you say, Russell Martin and Southampton have just come up the inside. And now right tucked in behind, and you think that what they've got a game in hand on Leeds United. If they win that, they're level in points with Leeds, which makes the race for automatic promotion crazy. And of course, two of those four will drop into the playoffs and face teams who are in good form themselves, like Norwich, who've come out of nowhere almost to get up there and stay in there. West Brom, who've done brilliantly throughout the course of the season, bearing in mind all the various issues there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just going to be an incredible ending. And I can't wait for the games to come. You kind of look at the diary and see there's no game today. You've got to wait a couple of days. And it's quite disappointing because you want to all keep going.
That's the race for the top two. That battle for fifth and sixth. I would possibly say that West Brom maybe just being dragged into that, given, of course, how close Norwich are. And then, of course, a wonderful result for Hull City, who needed themselves to kind of throw themselves out of the funk they'd gotten of drawing games. Let's move further down, because, again, that's not sorted. One thing is sorted, of course. Rotherham playing League One football once again next season. Liam Richardson, we were told, to all intents and purposes, after relegation had been confirmed, that he would be the man to lead them back. He's now not. He's moved on. And there's a very, very familiar face back in South Yorkshire, isn't there?
Yeah, there's two strands to this, I guess. There's the Liam Richardson exit and the entrance of Steve Evans. So let's deal with Liam first. And the news did surprise me here, because I spoke to Liam, about 10 days ago. I was covering the Rotherham United Plymouth Argyle game, which obviously was the night that Rotherham succumbed to relegation. So I spoke to Liam a couple of days before the game, and he sort of mentioned a few things to him, which he'd said in the press. It's not a case of mentioning, digging Liam out in any way, but he sort of said that since he'd arrived at the club, he'd been managing a situation more than just a team. There'd been various underlying issues at Rotherham United that needed sorting out. I think one of the problems that he felt he'd had since being in charge was that he'd only sort of had a 65% availability of squad, say, during the games that he'd had, either through illness or injury or various other things as well. And so he hadn't been able to name an unchanged team and get that rhythm going that you really need when you're at the foot of the table and struggling. And let's be honest, as a club, they've not been good enough this year. I mean, you know, sometimes you can look at things and dress things up a little bit. Ultimately, if you double Rotherham's points tally, they're only 2 points clear of relegation.
Yeah.
So it's just not been good enough. But he'd had positive conversations with Tony Stewart about next season. It looked like he was going to have the opportunity to put his sort of own stamp on the squad. There were a lot of players out of contract, so there was going to be a lot of turnover. And he was looking forward to the challenge. But clearly, in the sort of week or so that's passed since then, things have changed on either side of the fence or on one side of the fence. And a change has been made. No surprise that Steve Evans has been lifted out of Stevenage by someone, because he's done such a brilliant job there.
Very swift, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he's got very very good history with Rotherham. Of course, he led them up from League Two to the Championship in his first spell, and we spoke to him on the pod a few months back. And I think when he first joined Rotherham, they were 19th in League Two, and he had a meal with Tony Stewart, and he talked about this on the podcast with us. And Tony said to him, "Where will we be 3 years today, Steve?" And Steve admitted he was a bit cocky and sort of said, "Well, 3 years from now, we'll be in the Championship." And Tony said, "If you get us there, I'll pay you bonuses and I'll buy you a Bentley." And Steve said to us, didn't he, "He's still got the Bentley." So that was how the relationship blossomed and the success that they had. And of course, other cars are available, incidentally. But he mentioned to us he was proud of his reputation for getting clubs into a better place. And that he sort of feels that if he'd been a bit more mature and calm at some periods of his career, he wouldn't be managing in League One with Stevenage, and that's all due respect to Stevenage, he'd be higher up the order. So he clearly sees this as an opportunity to get Rotherham back into the Championship and to move on up the pecking order, and all the best to him, and indeed to Liam as well.
Yeah, very much so. And it's a tough one, isn't it? Because it's a brutal industry, and clubs get pilloried for not having someone in place ready to go. But if someone's in place ready to go too quickly, it's deemed a little insensitive, isn't it? But purely from a professional point of view, as you quite rightly say, Stanley, that something good has to come of this situation, doesn't it? And bringing Steve in with his pedigree, with his track record, fingers crossed it works out for him. And of course, Liam Richardson, who is a man that we've both got a hell of a lot of time for. So we're keen to see where he next plots up. A team passing Rotherham by on the way between the two divisions is, of course, Portsmouth. Who needs Mourinho when you've got Mousinho? Was the shout coming out of the Pompey dressing room and the scenes that we saw after the game. Safe to say there was a celebration down on the south coast.
Yeah, and well deserved, because it's been quite the season for them, and it's been quite the few years for them as well, hasn't it, at Portsmouth, with a lot of false dawns since those heady Premier League and FA Cup winning days. So I'm pleased for John, first of all, because when we chatted to him on the pod earlier in the season, he was a great lad to have on here.
Very impressive individual, isn't he?
Indeed. And he admitted, he was very honest, wasn't he, that Portsmouth took a real risk, if you like, in hiring him. Mm-hmm. When he joined Portsmouth as manager, he was actually still a player. They sort of plucked him in and said, right, we want you to manage the team. Mm-hmm. And there was no proof it was going to work. And indeed, we'll talk in a bit about clubs who've taken a gamble on managers and it hasn't worked. So fair play to him. He's really dug in. He's made the job his own. And he admitted to you, didn't he, that he hated coming to Fratton Park as a player, because he always came as an away player.
Yeah.
And he said it's a horrible place to come because the crowd are so vocal and really behind their team. And he said, well, I've got to harness that. I've got to keep the fans with me. I've got to produce football befitting of the atmosphere at Fratton Park. He's certainly done that. And he's ridden the waves of injuries galore throughout the course of the season and still kept them away from, let's be honest, not just average to poor teams. We're talking big clubs who've done very well, the likes of Derby and Bolton and Peterborough and many more below them. So congratulations to him and to the club as a whole.
Well, you mentioned Derby, Bolton and Peterborough. Who goes up with them then through the automatic spots?
Well, I mean, Derby, obviously, with the 3-point advantage over Bolton, they're in a great spot. But I was looking at who plays who towards the end of the season. Derby go away to Cambridge, and they finish at home to Carlisle. Carlisle, of course, already down. Cambridge still in the mix for relegation, although they may just be okay.
Yeah.
Bolton, home to Port Vale, who are scrapping for their lives. It's just not working for them and Darren Moore at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're 3 points adrift of safety now, but that game is going to be huge for both clubs. And Bolton finish at Peterborough. So, I mean, we could see Bolton against Peterborough now at the end of the season. We could see it again in the playoffs, or maybe one of them will avoid that. We'll see. So, yeah, it's another crazy end. We've got some wonderful weeks ahead in the EFL. Yeah. And when people ask me, why do you enjoy working on the EFL? Well, you just have to look at scenarios like this, and it tells its own story, really.
It's crazy, isn't it? Down at the bottom, cometh the hour, cometh the man, Curtis Davies, the old war horse that he is. And I'm saying that tongue firmly in cheek, because he's in immaculate shape for a man of his age. But when we spoke to Daryl Clark on the pod as well, haven't we? The belief pouring out of that man about getting Cheltenham away from trouble. They're now just below Burton, just below that dotted line. They do have a game in hand. It's looking very favourable. Obviously, the work needs to be done. Points on the board, potentially better than games in hand, of course. But what looked like the impossible job, and what Daryl has said publicly, it would be his greatest achievement in football if he gets him to safety, is well within touching distance, isn't it?
It is, and it's funny, at this time of the season, you look at league tables and it would be a lot easier to read if everyone had played the same number of games. But of course, postponements and cup commitments and various other things mean that isn't always the case. And that game in hand, there'll be some Cheltenham Town fans who'll be looking at and saying, we're not going to win the game in hand. We're, you know, it's too nervous, too worried about what's going to happen, and they'll feel that it won't happen. There'll be some Cheltenham Town fans who'll be like, of course we're going to win it. That's 3 points, and you add that on and we're above the line. And then there's people in the middle who don't really know what's going to go on. And it's a scary time of the season, and it's a very difficult time to read things, isn't it? And Cheltenham winning the other night and leapfrogging Port Vale, it's huge psychologically for them. So it sets up the end for them nicely, and Burton Albion fans will be concerned, looking firmly over the shoulder.
Very worried indeed. League Two, we've got three teams boxed off. Three teams have done it. The three teams that statistically have been there all the time. We see Stockport reacting to playoff heartache. Mansfield, with the great work, as we mentioned, Nigel Clough's been doing for such a long time there, and quite rightly lauded as the best manager in that particular division. And Wrexham, I mean, have we spoken about Wrexham at all this season? Possibly a couple of times. But the chat about it, about, well, they are very successful football clubs. They are very well run. They've got financial resources to draw on. Yep, all those things on paper, brilliant. Still got to do it on the pitch. And all three have absolutely done that with bells on, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a pressure that goes with that finance, isn't there? And it's not all that easy to get the job done. It might be easier than some have it. But yeah, congratulations to all three of the clubs who've got up. I think I went to one of the games that stands out for me in the whole season is the game when Stockport County were at home to Wrexham, and everyone was sort of billing it as a title decider already. This was in September. Yeah. And people thought it would be close. Paul Mullen was playing his 100th game for Wrexham, so a lot of people were joining the dots and saying he's going to star and win it for Wrexham. And Stockport won 5-0, and it really put a marker down from the home side. Isaac Alafay got a hat-trick, his first senior hat-trick. It was a great day for the Hatters. And I remember that Rob McElhenney, the co-owner of Wrexham, sent a message to Phil Parkinson, a text message to Phil Parkinson during the game. He said so that when Phil got back to the locker room, as he calls it, he would pick up this message on his phone. Yeah. And it was basically so that he ignored all the external noise about the result. And it was a message that said, we're right behind you. Shake this one off. We go again tomorrow. Which you don't get a lot from owners necessarily. It's certainly amazing, it isn't publicised. And it was a case of saying, okay, this is a bad day. But we're still Wrexham and we're still going to get the job done. Let's move on and we're backing you. And of course, in the end, it has proved that Wrexham have got up. And so it's good management. And it's also good management from above with Nigel Clough. Mansfield having a couple of goes at playoffs and automatic promotion in the last few years, losing the final at Wembley, missing out on goals, goal difference last season, or goals scored, wasn't it, even from Salford. Yeah. And Mansfield, rather than saying, that's the end of the road, Nigel, thanks very much, they gave him another contract and said, come on, we'll do it this time. We believe in you. And clearly Stockport believe in Dave Challoner, and rightly so, and he'll manage in the third tier for the first time in his career, and his promotion list goes on and on. So well done to all three.
No, it's wonderful to see. And there was a touching moment, of course. I said about Nigel thanking his wife on stage at the EFL Awards, but when John Moo Senior came up as a man in his first full season, discussing what it's like, and then looking across the table and seeing Nigel Clough a quarter of a century in. And a statistic that I've read about is now managed more games than his father. And he what did he say about staying in the game so long? He said, must be something in the genes, which I thought was such a great line.
It's a great line because a lot of people talk about Brian Clough, don't they, and Nigel. And Brian is rightly so held in such high regard for his demeanour as well as his management style and his achievements. Yeah. But Nigel has done exceptionally well. And you know, I think the football world should be very proud of him, what he's achieved, and indeed the family as a collective, if you like.
Yeah, very well put. Very well put. Unfortunately, we're going to have to head down to the bottom end of League Two. Seven seasons in the EFL, as high as League One, but Forest Green, unfortunately, next season they've dropped out of the EFL, and in so many ways, a very admirable football club as the entity, isn't it? Really, what Dale Vince is trying to do, what he wants from that particular business that he's got, from what it means to people. Changes in management, changes in structure. I'm not saying necessarily that they then catch up with you, but it's been tumultuous, to say the least, hasn't it, this season?
It has, and it's no surprise, really, that clubs that go down are often the teams that have had no stability through the season or very little. And they've been in the bottom two for most of the season. They've only won 9 of 44 games. So the writing's been on the wall for a long time. They've had three managers since the summer. When you think of, you know, Duncan Ferguson was involved. He left in July. Then David Horseman came in, only saw 4 wins, left in December. Troy Deeney lasted just 6 games. Steve Cotterill brought in January. And he actually won more games in his first 14 matches, I think, in charge than the three previous managers managed in 27 between them. So there was a real upturn in form, but there was still a lot to do. And then other teams around them were picking up form as well. And I feel for the fans of the club, really, because the National League is such a tough league to get out of.
Yeah,
it's got some really good teams in it. And there's a lot of football snobbery, I think, around the lower leagues of the EFL and also the National League. But there are some well-drilled sides. There are some sides with real finance behind them. And I'm not just talking Wrexham, but obviously other clubs, you know, who've got money, more money than League Two clubs. So to get out of there is so tough. And when you think of 2 seasons back, Forest Green Rovers and Exeter City were fighting at the top of League Two to try and get up into League One.
Yeah.
And on the final day, Forest Green nicked the title out of Exeter's hands, if you like, on goal difference.
Yeah.
The last 2 seasons, Exeter have spent consolidating in League One, and Forest Green have gone down twice. Yeah. And it comes down in the end to stability mm-hmm. at the two clubs, I guess, if you compare them. A bit of fortune along the way, but also recruitment is huge. And mm-hmm. it's just not worked for Dale Vincent, Forest Green Rovers. And I obviously wish the club well. He never liked to lose clubs from the EFL, but we have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how long they'll be down there in the National League and how they can structure things so that they can get back up swiftly.
Hopefully the bullishness and the skill of Steve Cotchell will be the thing that drags them up by the bootstraps. So it's just Sutton and Colchester. I mean, it would take an almighty swing to have Grimsby involved at that come the end of the season, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. But Colchester, again, with the games in hand, they're flying way too close to the sun for any form of comfort, aren't they? And potentially if it ends up being them staying up, lots of things for them to work on, lots of things to put in place to make sure that next season is not the same as it was this season.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting battle at the bottom. Mm. And let's not forget that you mentioned Grimsby. They're 6 points clear of the drop zone with two games left to play for Sutton and for Colchester, obviously got the game in hand. Mm-hmm. So it would take quite a swing. But there's only an 8-goal difference between Sutton and Grimsby Town in goal difference. So that could happen.
Yeah,
but it's also worth mentioning Salford City, only a point better off than Grimsby. Yeah. Now, they can't go down. But there'll be a big debrief at the end of the season about what on earth are Salford doing down there with the backing they've got and the footballing brains behind the operation there. Mm-hmm. So that's one to point out as well. But Sutton host Crawley and they end at MK Dons. And Colchester go to Notts and then are home to Donny and Crewe. Colchester might not get any more points.
Well, the form that Donny are in as well.
But they might not need to. That's the thing. They're 4 points ahead of Sutton. So it might all be done. We don't know. But yeah, it's given us plenty of drama and excitement, unless, of course, you are fans of the teams at the bottom, in which it's been an awful ride and you just want it to all be over.
I just want it to end, which is not what I want for this podcast. I don't want it to end, Stanley, but I've got to, because you've got to go. You've been wonderfully astute company as ever. We'll let you into a little secret, you listeners and watchers. We did have Sammy Smodics for a little longer than we normally get with the guests, as he was uploading, as I said, in this car park up in the northwest. And he's a lovely chap, isn't he? Gave us a lot more of time than he ever needed to. We had a good chat with him. So I think myself and you have become his best friends.
And it's worth pointing out as well, which we didn't get to in the chat, but he scored 24 championship goals this season and no penalties.
Amazing.
So, fair play to the lad. Great fair return. Play to him.
He was wonderful. And so are you, my friend. Where are you on your travels this weekend?
I've got a few bits and bobs this week, but I'm going to take in a bit of League One at the weekend, which I'm looking forward to see basically who gets into those playoff spots or who can make a move towards those playoff spots. So I look forward to taking in the action and being on some TV screens somewhere, I think.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your face.
You're too kind.
You take care, my friend. So my sincere thanks to our very own David Stowell and, of course, the goal machine that is Sammy Smodics. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please give us a follow in all the usual places or watch us right here on YouTube. My name's David Prutton and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.